أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي لا يبلغ مدحته القائلون ولا يحصي نعماه العادون ولا يؤدي حقه المجتهدون. الذي بعدا فلا يرى وقربا فشهد النجوى تبارك وتعالى، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء وخاتم المرسلين وشفيع المذنبين سيدنا ونبينا بالقاسم محمد. ولأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. واللانة الدائمة الباقية لأعدائهم ومنكر فضائلهم وغاصب حقوقهم من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: إن الله اصطفى آدم ونوحا وعلى إبراهيم وعلى عمران على العالمين. صلوات من الله. This is the second gathering that we are having on the Azah of Sayyid al-Shuhada. And while we begin by extending our condolences to Bibi Fatima al-Zahra, salawatullah alayha, we also would like to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this opportunity to sit and mourn and grieve the tragedy of Karbala once again. This is the opportunity for us to renew our commitment with the original Islam, the pure Islam which was preserved by the sacrifice of Imam Hussein and his family and his companions. It becomes an opportunity where we get to sit and reflect on the issues about our faith, about our history, and the theme that I have selected. Those of you who were here last night, that the topic for this majalis is going to be the issue of family life from the perspective of the Quran and the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam. When we look at this issue, this is very fundamental to us. It affects every individual in one way or another, because we are members of a family. And when we look at this theme, it's not really that much far removed from our religious values, because Shia madhab is based on this concept of following the itra and the al. And what is the meaning of itra and al? Itrat is the family of the Prophet. Al of Rasul is the family of the Prophet. And so this whole mazhab is basically based on this concept of the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as you saw yesterday, we will be looking at the Quran and the seerah of the Ma'sumeen in order to get guidance about issues that we face ourselves in this part of the world. One more point of trying to explain the importance of this theme, which is about the family life, is that not only our Shi'i perspective is based on this concept of Itrat and Ali Muhammad. If you look at the beginning of the da'wat and the call of Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not ask his last messenger to call the people in general first. The first call for Islam was made, وَنْذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ. The famous story of Da'wat Zul Ashira is known to every Shia, that the first formal call of Islam presented by the Prophet was not to the world at large. It was to his own extended ashira and family. And so even our religion in a way started with the support of the family of the Prophet in form of Banu Hashim. Salawat. Even if you look at it from the Islamic perspective, historical perspective, you will see that when the Prophet came down from Ghar Hira, and when he, you know, talked about what happened there, when the way he came down, the first person to respond positively to that call of the Prophet was not an outsider. So even the beginning of the process of the Da'wat of Islam was from the member of the family of Rasulullah, in form of a closest member of him, and in form of Bibi Khadija, salawatullah alayha, salawat alayha. And then when we look at the male side, even there you see the family member is there right in the beginning of the process. Ali was not at home then when the wahi came down. Ali is the only witness of the first wahi and revelation upon Rasulullah. Because Rasul used to go to Ghar Hira, spend many, many days there, and the only link between Rasul and the society at that time was Ali. One of the tasks that he had was he would take food and drink from Khadija and take it to Rasulullah. And in his khutbah, which is khutbah number 192 of the Nahj al-Balagha, he actually talks about it. I presented a passage from it last night where he talks about his own childhood with Rasulullah. There he says that, لَقَدْ كَانَ يُجَاوِرَ فِي كُلِّ سَنَى بِحِرَىٰ. He says, every year during that stage of his life, the Prophet used to go to the cave of Hira, فَعَرَاهُ وَلَا يَرَاهُ غَيْرِي. It was only me who used to see him in that cave. Nobody else would go there. And then he says, when the wahi came, لَمْ يَجْمَعْ بَيْتٌ وَاحِدٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ غَيْرَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ وَخَدِيجَ. That when the wahi came, there was nobody part of that new religion except Rasulullah and Khadija, وَأَنَا ثَالِثُهُمْ, and I was with them, the third one. And then he says something, أَرَى نُورُ الْوَحِي وَالْرِسَالَةِ وَعَشُمُّ رِيحُ النُّبُوَّةِ. Ali says, I was able to see the light of revelation and I was able to smell the fragrance of Nubuwwah. Salawat upon the Ikbal. So our mazhab and deen is based on this concept of family. And that is why, you know, the theme that we have is very much in line with the, you know, fundamental concepts of our mazhab. Salawat upon the Ikbal. There's a request that please, if you can move forward, please. There is a lot of space here. You don't have to leave space for the malaika. If they come, they will find their own space. Salawat upon the Ikbal. Ikbal or salawat upon the Ikbal. In the beginning of the discussion last night, we started with this question of what is the Islamic perspective about the system of family life in Islam. Just to connect with the theme for those who didn't come last night, we looked at two common family systems. One is known as the joint family system, most prevailing in Asian societies, and the other is the nuclear family system, which is more a Western way of life. In the joint family system, there are three generations living under the same roof. The grandparents, the adult sons with their own wives and children. And basically it's more a socialistic concept of management of the household, where all the income from the adult sons goes into the hands of the grandparents and they manage the entire extended family. There are positives and negatives in that system. When it comes to the nuclear family system, that is the system where once the grown-up children, you know, get married, they move out of the house of their parents. And even there, there are certain elements of positivity and certain elements of negativity. We talked about it last night. So what is the Islamic perspective? The Islamic perspective is that Islam looked at both systems, maintained the goodness from both, and eliminated the negativity from both systems. And what I mentioned there, and I would like to emphasize on this point, that Islam preferred what I would call semi-attached family system, where there is a separation, but not total, you know, disconnect between one generation and another. And this is where I gave the example that in, you know, Islam would prefer a system where, you know, the new family is given some room to find their own roots, to understand themselves better, and to grow in that way, but not with total disconnect from the generation of the parents. Rather, there has to be the link, and the link emphasized in Islam is that you can have separate households, but you should be linked by the concept of silatul rahim. Silatul rahim means the linkage based on family ties. Rahim means the womb of the mother. And this has been greatly emphasized in Islam. The way we summarized it, if you look at these three systems, in the joint family system, the household is same. Three generations living under the same roof, but many times the hearts are divided because of the problems. In the nuclear family systems, the houses are separate, even the hearts are mostly separate. When we talk about the Islamic system, which I named as, you know, semi-attached family system, the households would be separate, but the hearts of the family members across the generations are linked to one another. Salawat upon the Ikbar. We looked at the ayat from Surah An-Nur, and I would like you to go home and look at it. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this concept of houses of different, you know, generations and members of the family. We even looked at the Hashimi tradition of Banu Hashim before Islam. When we look at the situation of Hazrat Abu Talib and how Abbas, his uncle, and Rasulullah went at a time in the year when there was famine and qahat in Mecca, they wanted to relieve some burden from Abu Talib. And this is how they took over the responsibility of Aqil was taken by Abbas, and Ali was taken by Rasulullah when he was only 5 years old. And from that age, Ali was in the house of Rasul and Khadija, salawatullah alayhim. Then we look at the example of the Prophet in Medina itself. That we saw that the house of Rasulullah was different from the house of Ali and Fatima. They were not living under the same roof. Although they had separate houses, but they were so much close to one another that we looked at the famous incident of Hadith Kisa, where the Prophet was able to very comfortably, without any formalities, go into the house of his daughter when he felt inni ajidu fi badani dhu'fan. He didn't go to the house of his own wives there. He wasn't far away. But my point was that maybe this was done to show us that when it comes to the issues of the generations, they might have separate homes, but there should be no need for them to have an appointment in order to go and visit one another. There is no need. As you look at the ayat of Quran, which said there is no blame on a person going to all these houses. And we had a list of our 8 or 9 houses of the family members, where you can go there without invitation, without informing, although as a courtesy, of course, in the Western world, you would expect a phone call. Sometimes it might help you. You will go there, it's locked. But from the Shari'i point of view, there should be no formality when it comes to the close family members visiting one another, anyone, you know, having meal together in the same house. Salawat padhne ek baar. Especially this is where the event of, you know, Kisa has to be understood very properly. It has a strong impact if you really understand the message that we are getting from it. On the level of Aqidah, there is one message. On the level of Seerah and Amal, there is another message. And I wanted to continue with the issue of the ayat which was revealed in that Hadith Kisa. But before even I get that, I would like to extend this discussion. Clarify the point. I don't want, and yesterday I emphasized the point, I am using the term, Islam prefers this system. And I made it clear that when I'm saying preferred, it doesn't mean this is wajib or haram. Why? Because situations are not always the same. Depending on a particular situation, there would be flexibility in the preferred system that we are talking about. Especially when we are talking about, you know, old parents. Yes, there wouldn't be a problem when they are still able, you know, they are also still, you know, have income, they are able to contribute for themselves and the family. If the grown-up children get married and move out, there's no problem there. But that doesn't mean that that separation has to be totally and for all the time. Situations would sometimes demand, not exactly as the joint family system, but when it comes to the old parents, if they are not able to live a dignified life on their own, it becomes the duty of the adult children to take care of the old parents. And this is where we have to realize that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the Quran, in Surah Yasin, you recite on Thursday nights, وَمَن نُعَمِّرُهُ نُنَكِّسُهُ فِي الْخَلْقِ. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whenever to whoever we give a long life, we reverse him in the physical structure. You know, they were there to take care of you. Now that they become old, they become like, you know, babies. Now they are independent on your help. And that is where the flexibility is there. And that's what we'd like to emphasize in tonight's medley. Salawat upon the Akbar. So let us look at the ayat of Quran on this issue. There are four places in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is more in the context of respecting and being kind to old parents. One is very specific about it. The other three are more general. But in all these four places, it's interesting to see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala combines the concept of tawheed, monotheism, with the concept of being kind to the parents. Islam is a religion based on the concept of a unity of God, monotheism, and tawheed. That is the foundation. There is no deviation from that at all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not tolerate shirk in any way. There is one ayat where he says, I'm willing to forgive everything. But when it comes to shirk, you want to make somebody my partner, that is not, you know, something I would tolerate. And so when we look at this issue, it's interesting that even combination of themes sometimes in the Quran, that combination itself is giving a message to us. For example, if you look at Surah Baqarah at number 83, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala summarizes his covenant with Bani Israel. And these are being repeated as a message for us also. Is أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ. What is the misaq? What is the covenant? لَا تَعْبُدُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Do not worship anyone but Allah and be kind to the parents. Immediately from Tawheed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes to the issue of being kind to parents. And then if you look at it, then it says, be kind to your relatives and orphans and masakeen, and say good things to the people. وَعَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةُ وَعَاتُ الزَّكَاةُ. Namaz and zakat, namaz and charity comes later on. It is a human interpersonal relationship which has been mentioned first. Within the family, children and parents, how they deal with one another. Then you have Zil Qurba, the relatives, Yatama wal Masakin, and then even being Qulul Nas Husna, speak, you know, in a good way to the people. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wa aqimu salat wa atu zakat, establish prayers and give in charity. Salawat wa naikbara. But we confine Islam to namaz. And then we, after musalla, everything else is forgotten. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first talks about interpersonal relationship and then talks about namaz and zakat. You look at the second ayat from Surah Nisa, وَعْبُدُ اللَّهُ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not associate anything with Him, and be kind to the parents. Again, the emphasis of Tawheed and being kind to the parents, and again, the issue of Zil Qurba and everything comes in. And then, third ayat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, you know, do not do shirk. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. But the ayah that I would like to come to is the fourth one, which is from Bani Israel, Surah Bani Israel, ayat number 23 and 24. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَن لَا تَعْبُدُ إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And this is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the old age. ضعیفی کی دور کی بات ہو رہی ہے. When the parents reach to that stage where he says that Allah, your Lord, has decreed, أَن لَا تَعْبُدُ إِلَّا إِيَّا, yet you do not worship anyone but Him, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, and be kind to your parents, إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرِ كِلَاهُمَا إِهْدَاهُمَا وَكِلَاهُمَا. If one of them or both of them, depending, you know, which of the parents are alive, if one of them or both of them reach to the age of kibar, they become elderly and old. Indaka. This is what I would like to emphasize. Indaka, with you. So you can have this system as a preferred system is separate households. But when they become kibar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, when they grow old with you. In the old age, there is a flexibility. You will have to look at your parents. You know, we don't believe in this concept of sending them out to the institutions. Well, if there is a serious medical issue, that's a different thing. But, you know, this is where we have to realize that when we talk about this concept, of course, it doesn't necessarily have to be under the same roof. You can be just neighbors of one another. Maybe you are in the upper level or lower level, whatever, because they also need kind of, you know, their own privacy and independence in a way. But there should be closeness that you will be able to take care of them at the time of their need. Salawat upon the Akbar. Read the entire Quran from Al-Fatiha to An-Nas. 33 places Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered to do the namaz. But the method of namaz is not there. How many rakat you had to do? Even the timings of namaz is not there. The order is there, but the details of namaz is not there. The same God is now talking to us about old parents. And what does He say? He goes into details now. When He says, إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرْ إِهْدَاهُمَا وَكِلَاهِمَا, if one of them or both of them reach to the age of old, you know, age with you, three things keep in mind. Number one, فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍ وَلَا تَنْحَرْهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. The first